Yeah, but the mantra Yala Teeth, just do it 99 times a day to keep the power working, dragon power working through you. So it only takes a minute or two, but that's a simple mantra. 99 times a day, Yala Teeth, to keep the dragon energy in you. And you can use it anytime you want. Anyway, having done that, we're going to go on to this whole process of self-reflection. I was talking about this future causality. We're going to develop on that a bit, so you really get used to how it works. Because how do you actually use that? That's the next clue. How do you actually use this to change your life?
Can I just, before you start that, that was the cleansing. Just a general cleanse, or...?
Anything you like, you can focus upon this with intention. Like if somebody's got psychic attacks, possessions, entities, next link to other people they've been in before, you can have the intention of removing that, use the mantra and the dragon energy will clear it.
Okay.
Now, generally, if somebody, say, has been sacrificed, say, to the devil in a past life, you have to do this 3 days running to clear all those links. Because that can be quite a deep link that's left.
Could you repeat that, please?
If somebody's been, say, sacrificed to the devil in a past life, it can leave a very deep link on the soul. And so you'd have to do this 3 days running before it's fully cleared.
What would you do 3 days running?
Yeah. The mantra, yeah, let Ethan blow into them, that simple.
Just like we've done now, so for 3 days.
Yeah.
But you can do it on yourself.
You can, Well, basically, once this dragon's in you, it's going to clear a lot of stuff anyway. It's going to be working for you all the time. Mm. Now this dragon energy's in you, you're going to continue evolving as the dragon energy interacts with you. You'll be opening psychically and growing more powerful every day just by doing this mantra. It's going to keep on growing. And that process is going to clear out any negative links. It's going to bring you more touch with the power. Start with the Yala Teeth.
There's no job remembering that so far.
Anyway, we're going to go into the self-reflection.
All the same.
Talking about future causality. Since I was talking about cause being in the future, you should then understand that when you work on your past, it starts producing diminished returns. A lot of people like to work on their past, doing regression, releasing childhood traumas and past life traumas and everything, which works great for a while. But as you go further in your metaphysics and development, you find that starts producing diminished returns, because you're stepping more and more into the reality where the past is less important.
What does it mean?
Causes in the future. Well, it means it doesn't work so well anymore. You do your pasts, regressions, and it's not making much change in your life. Mm. So really make change deeply in yourself and your life so everything changes. We have to work with future causality. And this is a little bit more complex, takes a little bit more thought and honesty with oneself. There's a process of self-reflection that's important here, as a basic of dragon magic, before you can actually get the real work done. And self-reflection has four components: attention, intention, action, and image. These are the things you're going to look at in yourself. Intention is easy. What do you want? What do you want to do this work for? What are you going to change? What result do you want? Attention is where you place your attention. What are you thinking of? What are you placing your attention upon? People talk about paying attention because it does cost you an energy. What are you paying attention to is where you put your energy. And you consider where the futures work. All these futures already trying to happen need to feed off your attention. You've already created various possibilities all out there. They all want to happen, they act like living things. The ones which get your attention, get most energy from you, are ones that will actually manifest. So at any moment, there's lots of possible futures vying for your attention. And we have a reason for putting attention to a certain thing which you're not often honest with. So let's look at how this process of self-reflection can work. So you want attention, intention, action, image. First of all, what's your attention on? Obviously, your attention's on many things. So we take a particular situation you want to change. A simple example, suppose I'm having trouble in a relationship and I want to improve this relationship. I'm going to focus on that. So where's my attention? Is it on the good bits, the love and the wonderful things, or is it on the horrible things which we fight about? Whatever the attention is on, that's what's going to grow. That's what I'm feeding. And there's an intention why I do that. And that's based on my image, and it's revealed by my action. Because quite often, when you say your intention is dishonest, your action reveals what your real intention is. So, to use the example of a relationship, if I'm focusing on negative things, let's look at my action. What do I do then? Do I do nice things and try and make it better, or do I go away and sulk? Do I fight? What do I do? If my action is to go away and sulk, not talk to that person, it shows my intention is not to be in a healed relationship, it's to be alone. then I let me look at that and say, what does it say to the world about who I am? Maybe I want to be alone all the time, maybe I'm a recluse. There's an image there, you see. So these four things together are showing the shape of what I'm creating. Because I'm a recluse, I'm going to go and be alone. Therefore, I put my attention on the negative thing so I can go away and be alone. And that's what I'm creating. So I'm going to end up with a future where I'm alone. So that's the first analysis. But in order to change it, we need to look through our convoluted layers of intent. Why do I want to be alone? If I'm saying I want love and I want to be in this relationship, why do I want to be alone? This is where we have convoluted layers of intent. Everything you want, there's something else behind it to get to the bottom layer, which is linked to your true will, something we're going to talk about more. So in this case, whether I want to be a recluse, I want to be alone, well, why do I want to be alone? You go deep into what I'm seeking there. When I'm alone, what do I find? Is it inner peace? Time to meditate, time for myself, time to be intimate with myself, or just find some peace in the outside world? What do I actually want? So this is something you have to allow you to go into your heart and your feelings for, rather than do it rationally. You start feeling your way. So if I'm going to a time zone when I'm alone, I think actually what I'm looking for is space myself. Okay, why do I want space myself? Again, you go deeper in what I'm looking for in that space. It might be I want self-realization. I want to find myself. Okay, why do I want that? When I find myself, what else do I want to find with that? You've got to go deep into the feeling all the time. I might find in the end up with somebody seeking his love. So what's why I'm looking for love, but it got convoluted. I'm now focusing on the convoluted intent of being alone. In some ways, that was a step to love. Now, once I go through my bottom intent and realise I'm here to find love and really feel that, I let an image develop. A new image develop.
A new image.
If my first image was, say, a recluse, now I'm a seeker of love. It's different, you see. That's already changed my focus. Therefore, all four things have changed: attention, intention, action, image. Now I'm a seeker of love. Therefore, I'll stop going to be alone. I'll actually act in love. Therefore, put my attention on love. That will grow. What I create in the end is a loving relationship.
Wouldn't it be appropriate to go through to be alone?
Possibly, but let's look at how it works. There's many angles. We've got to look at the futures of competing. You see, from these different intentions, there are different futures already out there seeking my attention. There's one future where I'm alone, based on image of being a recluse. There's another future where I'm in a loving relationship, based on my image of seeking love, my intention of finding love. Both those are competing for attention. Now, which one has got the most? That's the key. This way you look at attention. Okay, if all my attention has been going to the problems in the relationship, so it keeps growing, it gets worse, I'm going to end up being alone. That future is calling more strongly. As I said before, we're all in a sea of constant possibilities, potentialities. Nothing is fixed. In this relationship, there's a future where it fails, a future where it gets a wonderful, loving relationship. Which one am I going to give attention to? That comes back down to my real intention, my image. So in order to reveal your positive intent, you've got to go through those layers. You always have to go deep into your self-reflection. Why do I want this? Do you really feel your bottom-line intent? When you do this, you're actually getting much closer to what we call your true will. What you're really here for. What motivates you underneath everything. It might not be definable in words, but it'll be something that you feel calling in your heart and you get on with your life. This is what I'm here to do. You find many different situations you do this reflection on. I'll keep pointing you back down to the same underlying intent of what you're all about, what you're here for.
Is your belief that nothing is fixed, or do you think that there's certain kind of aspects?
It's fixed when you decide to fix it. It's choice.
When you start to fix it by choice, but there's nothing predestined.
No. Well, let's get somewhat complicated when we look at it. We'll get into that more later along the course. You see, there is something called destiny, but that's chosen as well. Once something's chosen on that degree, it becomes predetermined, inevitable. But that doesn't mean you can't change it. If you make a choice at the appropriate depth, the new choice will become inevitable and predetermined. That's how much we affect fate, if the choice goes deep enough. But I'll get to that later. Start with the basics. It's a basic about looking at what you're creating now, where your attention is going. So the first thing you need to do then, maybe do it on a piece of paper first. You're going to write out something you want to change, something situation you're looking to change, and look at these four headings. Where's your attention? Then you're going to write underneath your intention for putting a focus on that, then your action and your image. Remember, the first intention might be a lie. Your action is going to be your real intention.
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
You first look at where your attention is.
Yeah.
Then you're going to note what's your intention in focusing on that. Being aware that your first intention might be bullshit. When you look at your action, that'll show you your real intention. And then after that, you let your image come, so you know what your self-image is in that situation.
And this is something you want to change?
Any situation, yes, you do this, say, put a process on. But in any situation, if there's something you're not happy with, you start with self-reflection. You look at where your attention is, why you're growing that in your life. So we're going to first just note those four things. Then what we're going to do is start going through the layers of intent. We'll take a moment behind each intention to feel what it is below that you really want, to go deeper and deeper. Until you get to this bottom line, we can't go deeper. This is really what I'm here for, what I really want. When you feel that, that's what we call your luminous intent. So we do it on paper first, just get that, and then we'll go a bit further.